Is it Sunday yet? Almost. Unfortunately, we're a lot of Sundays away from actually having real football. Unless you are a USFL or XFL fan, then we got a treat for you, which is something that we're not going to cover whatsoever. But if you want to watch AJ McCarron sling the ball around, then that's the product for you. But we're going to talk about the NFL. We're going to talk about our Super Bowl choices. I'm sad about it. I feel like ripped off, and I can talk about that in a little bit. But before we get into it, and before I talk too much, how are you guys doing today?
Doing well. So I watched the Super Bowl the first quarter on my flight home from Aruba. It's funny watching like such a big game on a flight because you have like you look at the screens ahead of you and like everybody's watching the same exact channel. And then, like something happens and you hear like mix of boos or a mix of clapping based on if they're rooting for the Chiefs or the Eagles. And then I was in a huge rush to get home. Luckily, I was able to watch the whole second half from my house because I live real close to the airport. But I'm sorry about your Eagles, Derek, but great game up until, you know, we're going to talk about that holding call for sure. But I had a great time. What about you, Mason?
Yeah, I'm excited. It's officially Dynasty season, which is one of my favorites because it's startup season. It's diving into rookies. It's making off-season trades based on guys that you think are going to have a good season next year and selling off guys that you're not as high on as the market. So I'm excited for this offseason, man. I'm getting excited for our rookie draft coming up in a few months. And I can't wait.
Yeah, me and Derek actually, I know you saw it. Me and Derek made our first trade ever in our Dynasty League.
So was that was it a really lot of fun. Our first trade? I feel like we traded picks.
Did we? That might have happened in the startup.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the first since the startup we
since
made.
Since the actual made
sense for
started.
Both of us. So
yeah. So the trade, why don't you tell us what it was?
Let me pull it up. I know I got Jahan Dotson, who's a player that I loved coming out of Penn State. And then I got Mike Gesicki and Tyler Beatty. And we like Gesicki because he's going to be a free agent. I've been saying it a lot, but, Dalton Schultz, he was in a great system. He had Dak Prescott throwing him the ball all the time. I think if it was Mike Gesicki catching the ball instead, he would have been even more productive. He's just a hell of a player that was in a really bad system. So if he finds a team that is tight end friendly, I think he could really succeed. But I ended up trading you, I believe. It was the 110 in the rookie draft. A third round pick
in 2024. Yep.
In 2024, Caleb Huntley
and Johnny Smith.
And Johnny Smith.
Johnny Smith.
And
so
that
Derek
was
got his first round pick.
Yeah,
which
I got
is
my
going to be a lot of fun.
Joe already had. Yeah, I mean, we made a trade cuz you had my first round pick.
Yep. And so, that's the 104.
So I traded back into the first round. I also don't have a second rounder. So I think it was fair overall. I think Gesicki could amount to something. He's going into his like year 28 season. Mm-hmm. Tight ends can be pretty good into their 30s, and he had a history of being pretty good. Not so much this year with McDaniel. Jonnu Smith, kind of a similar story, but like 2 years behind.
Yeah,
where they're kind of similar ages. He had a good year with the Tennessee Titans. He signs a huge deal with the Patriots, and then he just falls into oblivion. So
yeah,
I'm kind of hoping
Hunter
that
Henry.
Yeah, I'm
Hunter
hoping
Henry
that maybe
too.
Jonnu Smith can revive his career in his late 20s too, because he's making a lot of money. To an extent, you can follow the money, but it hasn't really panned out that way. At first, who did you offer me? You're trying to trade me O.J. Howard, and I was able to. I was able to negotiate into the Jonnu Smith,
mm-hmm.
which I'm happy about because, I mean, I'm going to be honest, like O.J. Howard was getting cut for a rookie pick.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I was going to go to. It's the point of the season where you're going to have to start making cuts. And I've been looking at a couple of names and I've just been trying to include them in trades so that I could give my my junk to someone else before I have to cut them. Hopefully get something else.
Yeah, that was, the Caleb Huntley-Beatty, like, comparison.
Yeah.
I was okay taking on Huntley because I can probably throw him on IR to start the season with the Achilles injury. And Beatty, who knows? We were texting offline, like, maybe he gets a chance with Javonte Williams not coming back right away. Maybe he gets some training camp buzz. The dude had excellent production in college. I took him pretty high in the startup draft. Thinking, like, this guy, his talent and his production is going to rise to the top, and it just didn't pan out for him in year one, buried on the Ravens depth chart, eventually got cut, picked up by the Denver Broncos. That's where he is currently. So we'll see.
You can't get really... a nice touchdown in week 18.
Yep.
Yeah, like 30-yard little dump off. But yeah, we'll see on Tyler Beatty. I liked him in college, but I don't know if he's ever going to turn out to be anything at this point, but he's young.
Yeah.
Overall, pretty fair trade, though, guys. I got to admit, it'd be tough if you ask me who I think won trade, but yeah, there's always those unknowns, right? Like, what does Tyler Beatty end up doing? You know, does Mike Gesicki go to a team where they actually throw to the tight end more? And
the 10th pick, that's for me. What am I getting at 10?
Big time.
Because, I mean, let's see. In rookie drafts, that was kind of – I mean, I think Dotson was picked a little bit later than that last year. So, I mean, Dotson proved that he can be something. I don't know if he's going to be more than, like – I think his ceiling is a high-end wide receiver too. I don't think you're ever going to see him in the top 12 unless I don't know. He just that's not really the style of wide receiver he is. He's probably going to score some touchdowns, have some good games because that's what he did his rookie season. But I don't think he's going to be putting up 1,400 yards or something.
Yeah, it really depends what they want to do with Terry McLaurin moving forward. And when I was looking at this trade for me, I actually think that Jahan Dotson's a better prospect than Terry McLaurin. I think he's going to be a better football player than Terry. Like that's just what I think in my head. Time will tell on it, but I think he's a great talent. Is he ever going to be like, you know, like a Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson type? No, I don't think so, but I think he's going to be a really, really productive pro. And I didn't really want a running back at 110. So then I was thinking about like the wide receivers that would be available. We'll see what happens in our draft with how many quarterbacks go, because we're in a super flex league. Like you look at like Josh Downs from UNC, like kind of a, you know, similar story where you're not really sure if his college production is going to translate to the pros because he's undersized. But I was thinking I'd rather take the guy that I saw be good as a rookie than like the unknown wide receiver at 110. And time will tell if that's the right decision or not. But I think it was an awesome trade for both of us.
All righty. I mean, let's talk about the Super Bowl a little bit.
You want
we did
to?
Not have an episode last week. We took our first week off with this being our 30th episode, which, I mean, we're just making up arbitrary milestones, but I'm pretty happy with that. We came in, us three never met each other in person, and we're on episode 30, kicking it week to week. I'm pretty psyched about that. I think that that's something to celebrate. Small victory here. Let's keep it going. As we head into the off season, that's going to be the challenge. Can we keep it up? I think we can, because I kind of rely on this for my own mental health. So please don't abandon me, guys.
As long as I like to talk football with you guys, I think that's going to keep going.
The Super Bowl, I put on my rally helmet for the second half. It did not work out. I think all I'll say about the holding call is it was a hold. Do I think it should have been called? No.
Yes.
Could they have called it? Did they call it? Yes. But, I mean, I don't think that it should have been called in that situation. I don't think that's what lost the Eagles the game. I think that they should have stopped them at least once in the second half, which is what they did not do. The field sucked. They couldn't get traction. Their pass rush was slipping everywhere. That they rely on that to get pressure on the quarterback, especially when Mahomes is playing. If you can't pressure Mahomes, you're going to lose the game. And the field was preventing them from getting any pressure. I mean, the O-line did their job, but like you could just watch replays. Hassan Reddick was just slipping. Brandon Graham was slipping. Josh Sweat was slipping. They couldn't get any traction around the corner. But that holding call, what it did do is it robbed the Eagles of a chance to come back. And it robbed the fans. If you're an objective observer of that game, you want the drama, not two kneel downs and a slide at the goal line in order to kick a 20-yard field goal to end the game. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why how the NFL is happy with that.
Yeah, I think we all wanted to see the Eagles have a chance to come back and tie it up or score a go ahead touchdown. I think it was a bad call just because they let the guys play for most of the game and then they had that flag thrown at that time. And hey, who would have known? You know, maybe they just kick a field goal and the Eagles don't go down and score, right? Who knows? But we'll never know. But overall, it was a really exciting Super Bowl, way better than the NFC and AFC championship games, in my opinion. It was a fun game to watch.
The only other call that I disagree with wholeheartedly was reversing the DeVonta Smith catch. I think you could make an argument in either direction, but it was called a catch on the field, and I did not see anything conclusive to change that to an incompletion. If it was called an incompletion on the field, I would have said the same thing. There wasn't enough to say it was a catch. But when you make a call on the field and there's not clear and conclusive evidence, you're supposed to stay with the pick of what it was called.
Yeah, you got it back with the Dallas Goedert catch, though.
No, but I think that was – it was called a catch on the field again.
Yeah.
His foot was down when his two hands were on the ball.
It's tough.
If we want to start playing that game,
I know.
It's not behind me, but the Zach Ertz touchdown against the Patriots was very Dez Bryant-esque. The Corey Clement bobble in the back of the end zone in 2017-18 Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think also no one knows what a catch is.
No one knows what a catch is.
With the NFL.
No.
So
yeah, I mean, look, the Miles Sanders interception, the incompletion fumble. I think that looked like the Reggie Bush play where Sheldon Brown just lit him up. And, they called it an incompletion.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're talking about what's-his-name being the MVP, the defensive player, who would have had two touchdowns.
Yeah. I hate when a game ends like that, like not even just for the Eagles and, just fans at home, but, even for the Chiefs, whenever you have a win that kind of has an asterisk on it, like the game ends and everyone's like, yeah, but you got that call at the end and that's the only reason why you won. Like, I just hate that. And I agree with you that the call was soft. Like, obviously it was a foul, but like that happens all the time. And you just got to let them play unless the guy you clearly see him tug on the jersey or disrupt the route in any way. But like the route wasn't disrupted. The pass wasn't even accurate. So I would have liked the play on, kick the field goal, give Jalen Hurts, who's playing out of his mind, another opportunity and just see if he could march down the field and get that field goal. And then the fans at home could watch him overtime in the Super Bowl. So it was like the best game ever. And then at the very end, you were just kind of robbed of even greater. So it was a tough go. Yeah, Derek's shaking his head right now for the listeners who cannot see. But
that was basically what I was doing during the last 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
I was just sitting there like, what?
I told you, I didn't even want to text. I texted you the next day because I was like, this is a rough way to end the game.
I probably said like three words the rest of the night.
Yeah.
And I had guests over.
Yeah. One thing the Eagles did that I didn't like was when they called a timeout in the second half. I thought they should have just took the 5-yard penalty. And if they had that extra timeout, I think they would have had, 40 seconds-ish when they got the ball back. But
They thought they had the ball back with like a minute and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but I give props to Andy Reid. They, the Eagles were weak against pre-snap motion, and they did that all game. And they had the Sky Moore touchdown and I think the Tony touchdown where they had that pre-snap motion that just confused the defense, and they had a wide-open guy both times. And, yeah, it's Andy Reid, man. He's a master.
Unreal.
And when your defense gives up two wide open touchdowns, you know what you do? You get hired by the Arizona Cardinals to be their head coach.
He had a great regular season, though. But
I don't know. As an Eagles fan, he did nothing to act, like scheme wise that impressed us. His personnel was incredible.
That is true. Oh, man.
But my question is, post Super Bowl, 2 days later, you've won the Super Bowl. Foul, fair or foul, to start trolling the other team on Twitter?
Are you talking about Juju specifically?
Yes.
Foul. Big time foul. Especially because he, I'm not a fan of Juju.
I thought it was pretty funny, but if I was an Eagles fan, I probably would have been pretty mad. Honestly.
I feel like his own teammates were like embarrassed to him.
It's
though.
Just like, so how do you have sour grapes 2 days after winning the Super Bowl?
He's pretty bad. Juju, you know.
TikTok.
Yeah, he needs to grow up.
I mean, he's like Eli Apple level trolling.
Yep.
Yeah, it's bad. I wasn't like, it was kind of funny, the Valentine's Day card. But like, first of all, he didn't even come up with it, so it's not creative.
And I think tough is like, Bradbury is going to think about that play for the rest of his life, and he owned it, right?
Yeah, he was cool.
Like,
about
I messed up, and he's gonna, you know, that stuff like that keeps you up at night sometimes if you can't get over it. And so I kind of understand like Juju putting him on blast publicly is kind of, and it was a joke, but still, it wasn't that funny. Like, it's a little messed up now that I see it like that.
Yeah.
Derek, did you find it a little crazy that Bradbury was like talking about like his desire to go back to the Giants right before the Super Bowl? I thought that was wild.
I don't like all the theater of the 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, where I mean basically the Gannon thing was a surprise to me. Mm-hmm. But I don't like, as an Eagles fan, hearing that our offensive coordinator is leaving and the Super Bowl hasn't even happened yet.
Too many distractions. Yeah.
Too many distractions. What was it? It went viral. They asked Nick Sirianni, "Is this a must-win game?"
Oh yeah, someone, I saw that. He was just
someone
like,
during
yeah.
media week asks Nick Sirianni if the Super Bowl is a must-win game, and he just said yes.
It's always next year. Yeah, it was so bad.
There was a poll somebody put. They were like, if you got to ask a question at Super Bowl Media Day, did you want to ask like a serious question about the game, or do you want to provide like comedic relief? And most people were like, yeah, I want to ask something funny. Like, why not?
There we go. Did you guys have any fantasy takeaways from, I mean, it's the Super Bowl. So, but like, for me, it was just like Dallas Goedert's so good.
Yeah.
Like that was really like the fantasy take. Like, I already liked Dallas Goedert, but I thought he showed up for that game. I mean, obviously Jalen Hurts is unreal, but like a little more under the radar, I suppose. Like, I'd be so happy with him as my tight end one next year for a redraft.
Yeah, mine.
I mean, same goes with DeVonta Smith.
Oh, he's already him.
He's so good.
He's awesome.
My takeaway is Kenneth Gainwell, especially with Miles Sanders, you kind of like not being sure, right? Where
we never got clarity on that. Miles Sanders at some point apparently went to the locker room during the first half.
I remember seeing what that happened? Notification. I don't know what happened, but it says he was cleared to return, right?
I mean, if anybody should have gone to the locker room for like an eval, it was DeVonta Smith after like one of his catches where he got lit up.
Mm-hmm. Right, I thought I saw a report that Eagles are interested in bringing back Miles Sanders if it's financially possible, like he doesn't ask for too much money. But just based on
Bijan,
the last couple of games in the play, well, besides Bijan, maybe Jahmyr Gibbs, because I think that would be a hell of a fit too.
Yeah, Gibbs but, too.
I don't even like. I was before Mason joined the call earlier. Me and Derek were talking before we hit record. I was like, I don't even like talking about prospects with you guys because me and Mason just have our rookie picks way too close together. Yeah. I don't want to reveal anything.
I'm really hoping you take one quarterback over the other. Otherwise, yeah, we might be trading that pick.
It'll probably be a quarterback at 102. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
I like both of them, you know? And of course, I'm talking about Levis and Richardson. I'm not talking about Young and Stroud. Don't worry.
Well, landing spot could change a lot of things, right? It could move guys up and down the board. And
big
like,
time.
Or if they slip like Malik Willis did last year, where he was probably like a top five pick for me. And then the draft happened, and I'm like, I ain't touching him in the first round.
Exactly.
Like, good. So you never know.
Talking on prospects, I was having a conversation today, and like C.J. Stroud is really, you know, that last game against Georgia, one of the, you know, better performances we've seen from a quarterback in a while. He showed that he could run the ball. He showed so much poise out of the pocket, could make any throw. He like pretty much staged a comeback for Ohio State against like an NFL team. Like Georgia's defense is unbelievable. And, you know, prior to that game, I don't think that he was really being respected as the quarterback one in the class. But it's just so funny because I've been watching a ton of tape on both quarterbacks and just like a lot of the prospects in the class in general, because I started writing an article on some of the players. And when I watch both of them, it's like Bryce Young, I just like better. Like when I watch the tape, when I watch his instincts, his IQ, I think he's more athletic than Stroud. I think he checks every single box more than CJ Stroud, but just his size and that frame, like not knowing if it could translate to the NFL level is such a headache. So it really comes down to like, do you value more the abilities of a player or his physical traits? Cause that's something that's been giving me a little bit of headache, because I like both these prospects so much. And we just had the year prior, it was like Kenny Pickett is the best quarterback from the class. You know, like these two guys look like they could be absolute studs. And then even further down, you have some potential. So it's going to be awesome to see the combine, because I think that's going to, if, you know, like they run their 40s or something like that, and we get the height for Bryce Young and the weight, it's going to be really interesting, because I think that the only thing holding back Young right now, and people might be overreacting, I'm not sure, is his frame, because we've just never seen it be done being that short and that skinny. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I like to try to weigh talent and where they go, you know, kind of equally, but more so with the talent side, because like that could win out. Like, for example, a few years ago, I saw some of my league mates take J.J. Arcega-Whiteside over A.J. Brown, because he went to the Eagles, which was a good landing spot, and Titans was not. And then, you know, you have last year people taking, like myself included, I took Burks over Garrett Wilson because I was like, ew, the Jets, no offense, Joe. But mm-hmm. like, I was good. Like, oh, I love Burks. And, you know, now I wish I took Garrett Wilson.
I still think that can happen.
So
Burks is looking
good. I'm in love with I want Garrett Wilson on all my teams. I think he's
me too.
So good.
You mentioned the comb. Oh yeah, you took him as like the wide receiver 6, Joe Mason, in a startup.
Not high enough, honestly.
I agree.
You think he's that good?
I think he's like.
What makes him better than DeVonta Smith?
Everything.
I think he's better. Versus DeVonta Smith is the 2.
Okay, but like talent wise.
I mean, I think he's
offense
more
is
athletic,
worse.
Better frame.
Yeah, he's younger.
I think that he's like a Justin Jefferson type athlete. And maybe I'm unrealistic. I know Mason loves him a lot. But yeah, no, I think Garrett Wilson's going to, year 2, we're going to be like talking about him as a potential first round pick after this season. Especially if they figure out their quarterback situation even slightly.
Yeah. So in my draft, Derek, DeVonta Smith went wide receiver 13.
Okay.
Right after T. Higgins, well, DK Metcalf and T. Higgins went right before him. Another wide receiver 2 on his team behind Chase.
All right. Who was the wide receiver 10 this year?
DeVonta Smith.
Well, you mentioned the combine. You're getting excited for the combine. What do y'all think about the NFLPA pushing to end the combine and have regional pro days instead?
I don't know if I like that. I mean, I think guys can still do both, right? Like, you could still have your pro day.
Absolutely.
Are you talking like regional pro day? Like, we'll have like a Southwest pro day and everyone goes there in those college areas.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they hashed it out, but I actually learned some stuff that I didn't really know beforehand. I mean, back in December, Troy Vincent, former Eagles great cornerback, said that he likened the combine to a slave auction. And now DeMaurice Smith, I can't remember how to pronounce his first name, I'm butchering that, said that he would get rid of it and replace it with regional pro days because it would be an improvement, because the NCAA and the NFL structure combined during what should be every football player's what last semester in college. Who decided that was a good idea to take your son and have him exclusively try out for the NFL's exclusive way of getting into the league? For the most part, unless you're a free agent player, you have to be invited to the combine. His sticking points is that they have to undergo a full medical evaluation upon arrival. And he said, as soon as you show up, you have to waive all of your medical rights. And you not only have to sit there and endure embarrassing questions. And I think that's horrible. And I don't want to poo-poo any of that. But would you want your son to spend hours inside of an MRI and then be evaluated by 32 separate team doctors who are, by the way, are only doing it for one reason, which is to decrease your draft value?
It's heavy.
Strong, harsh words from the NFLPA. And also, I mean, they also had a point where it's like, these players, it's not the early 2000s. We can go on YouTube and find every player's best highlight from their entire college career. We can track how fast they ran on this play that they did for a 50-yard touchdown. We can see how fast they hit the hole. We're measuring these speeds without pads after they've trained to sprint in a straight line, and we're putting so much value on this. And it's tough. Yeah. As much as it helps guys like Alec Pierce, like he killed it at the combine. His draft stock went through the roof. It also hurts guys. Kyren Williams, he stunk and he just lost everything essentially. I mean, he didn't look terrible on the Rams, but like dude's production was good and then he just bombed it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I think some guys opt out of the combine, right? And you hear people say like, oh, it probably hurts their stock, right? Because I think the NFL teams, I think they value the combine very high. And for us, it's kind of like, whatever, we kind of know who's fast and who's not, you know, but there's some pretty amazing metrics. Like, I think it was like the three-cone shuffle with DK Metcalf one year. He got a worse time than like Tom Brady. And so they were trying to say that like he's not very good at like quick in and outs. You know, he's more of a deep threat. But look at Metcalf. He's fine, right? Obviously.
Yeah. I mean, but that's not exactly false. He runs a lot of nine routes and slants. Yes. I wouldn't say he's like the best route runner.
It's like, I don't know, you're about to be an NFL player. Like if that it's yeah. kind of just the process, but I guess it doesn't have to be. But I think, I don't know if Mason was saying even on the episode before we started recording, but he was saying like Malik Willis, you know, like think about how highly he was projected to be drafted in rookie drafts. If you drafted prior to the combine and the draft, I just think it's part of the process. And for like dynasty managers, like I know right now I'm like forming my opinions on players and have my pro comparisons and watching a lot of tape, but I 100% don't have my complete formed opinions. You know, like I need the combine, I need the destinations, I need, you know, like if the NFL scouts that the scouts for the teams are looking at the combine and that's like an important aspect to them to know who they want to draft. Like maybe the 40 times without pads aren't that important, but I think the combine is very useful. So I don't know, you know, like it's tough to say, cause like pro days are like similar to combine, but like, I like the fact that you get the exact weight and height at the very least, like a lot of the measurables and you know, your vertical and things like that. I think that's pretty important. So if they could equate that in a pro day, then why not? But it's difficult.
I agree with you, Joe. I think we need those like official measurements. Take a guy like Rashad Bateman, for example. Nothing to bash him, but like his college, I think it was Minnesota, had mm-hmm. him at, I think they had him at like 6'3". 225, and then he goes to the combine and gets measured at 6'1", 190.
Exactly.
That's a huge difference. Like, yeah. And we need those official measurements. NFL teams need those official measurements before making a major decision. So,
you know, I'm writing an article on some of the positional prospects right now. And I'm like looking at, you know, Quentin Johnston, one of the best wide receivers in the nation, played for TCU. And I'm looking at like his height and weight, and one site has him at 201. The other site has him at 215. Like, it's all over the place right now. So like what I like about the combine is like, you actually get that official height and weight, you get the wingspan, you get the vertical. If maybe they would make the pro day a little bit more advanced if they were doing the regional pro days, but I think it's more the measurables that are important. And you know, if the character issues that NFL teams have, if that comes up with like some of the funny questions that they ask, then I think it's important. But I don't know, it's a sensitive subject.
And no matter what, they still mess up.
Yeah.
People still mess up.
Big time.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, Jalen Hurts was a second-round pick, and even people said that was a reach. I mean, Zach Wilson was the number two pick because of a cross-body throw he made going left in a pro day.
Josh Allen looked good in shorts. He turned out okay.
And Josh Allen looked bad his first two seasons.
Do you remember that?
I mean, the list goes on. Those are just quarterbacks.
I think there was like a bunch of articles that came out after Josh Allen's pro day about how he looked good in shorts. That was like a big thing after his pro day.
Like good at football or like attractive?
No, like actually like, yeah, like looked good in shorts.
Okay.
It was a weird thing. But he turned out okay, so maybe they knew something. He looked good in shorts, good at football. I don't know. But no, I'm excited for the combine since it is happening this year. We're about 2 weeks away.
Alrighty. I want to talk about Derek Carr. He was released by the Las Vegas Raiders. The rumor is that he's going to go to the Saints. What does that mean for fantasy football? I think Derek Carr's on your team, isn't he, Belner?
No, I traded him.
You traded every quarterback that you ever owned.
Yep.
He's a quarterback bus stop, his team.
I ended up getting Russell Wilson, which wasn't much better, but now with Peyton, I'm hoping that that's different. But I think Carr is an okay quarterback. Never gonna be that great for fantasy purposes. Even if even if he's successful with the team, I don't think that's gonna equate to being a top end option in fantasy. He's kind of just a worse Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I think he's a good fit for the Saints, actually. Yeah, that's funny though, Joe.
Worse Kirk Cousins.
I'll go off with your Saints. If he goes there, then Chris Olave to the moon, because he loves to hyper-target his wide receiver one, as we've seen over the years. So pass catching, it matters, but as a quarterback, no. But continue.
Yeah.
What did Jameis do wrong besides get hurt? Like, is he a free agent?
I think he is. Yeah, I can look. But
I saw this video
a
couple days ago.
Year.
Where it was an old video, and Max Fried was pitching in this like futures game, and Carlos Correa was at bat, and Jameis Winston stole home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that video,
and I was like, man, what's gonna happen to Jameis?
Too.
Yeah, and that was before he could see, right? How is he hitting a baseball?
Crazy.
He found out that he needed contacts.
I would love Jameis to go back to the Bucs.
Yeah, so Joe, he signed a 2-year deal, but he has his contract, 5.8 of it becomes fully guaranteed on March 17th of this year. So the Saints can technically cut him and not guarantee his contract. But I think, yeah, I'd like to see him go to the Bucs. I think if Derek Carr goes to the Saints, I think Michael Thomas is a great buy low. Like, yeah, he's hasn't done anything relevant in like 3 or 4 years. But I mean, in my startup, I think I snagged him. Let me see when I snagged him. It was really late. Like all the second round picks went off the board before. Like I'm in the 15th round. I was just like, at that point, I'm like, yeah, why not? Right. And he's 29 and in 3 games in PPR scoring before he eventually got hurt again. He was wide receiver 8, wide receiver 18, and then wide receiver 47. So
How bad is it for me to say that I would almost rather have Rashid Shaheed than Michael Thomas?
I wonder where he went in that draft. That's funny.
Yeah.
I'm still mad about that.
Yeah, Derek was in on Shaheed.
I was like way down the rabbit hole.
He went
scouting
after.
I was like researching undrafted free agent bonus guarantees. And I was like, wow, they actually like gave a decent amount to Shaheed. And but everything that said about him was like he's just a returner. Like that's why they gave him money. And so I didn't like add him on my roster. And I know he's probably not gonna amount to like anything, but I was right to do that. My process was sound and I didn't pull the trigger.
It's one of those things that like you remember when somebody tells you like that stupid fact. Cause like, I remember you were like Rashid Shaheed, like he's kind of interesting. And it was like before he played a single snap. And I was like, who the hell is this guy? Yeah. Like I've never heard
of him. I was like scouting like Mekhi Polk on like the Ravens practice squad. He got a bunch of money.
That's who he could have been.
But man, he's on a roster now. So I missed out, but also in everything is hindsight 2020, because you look at the depth chart at wide receiver going into the season for the Saints. Thomas was healthy. Olave was coming in. You had Landry signing a free agent contract to play in the slot. You had Marquez Callaway, who was okay the year before. You had Deontay Hardy, who was the incumbent returner who had some off-field issues and then got hurt. And then you also had who am I even missing? That might be it, but that's like six deep already.
Mm-hmm. You guys think Juwan Johnson is interesting for dynasty purposes? Like if they were to, let's say they got Derek Carr. I'm not quite sure how I feel on him. He had a pretty good year, though.
Let's see. Yeah. Where did he finish at tight end?
He was
let me give you some numbers here.
A couple of my leagues where I needed a tight end and redraft, he stepped up for me when I needed him last year.
Yeah, he was a great streamer at the very least. Because his fantasy finish might be a little bit off, but
well, he was the tight end 11 in total points.
Yeah.
But so the New Orleans Saints had two top 12 tight ends because Taysom Hill was tight end 5.
He was not a tight end.
He's a unicorn.
Juwan Johnson. Flex. Here's some numbers for you. From weeks 9 through 18, he was tight end 9 overall. From weeks 1 through 8, he was certainly not, because he started off really slow. He was the tight end 19 weeks 1 through 8. Really buoyed by a really good top 5 performance in week 7 and a top. No, that was it. I mean, he pretty much just got very baseline numbers before that. That's just how bad the tight end position was. And let's see, points per game wise, Johnson was tight end 15, but that also includes like guys like Ertz who got hurt, Waller who was hurt, and Goddard who was hurt for a little bit. So, I mean, solid performance for a guy who is not getting picked in any leagues, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he finished with like close to 10 points less than Cole Kmet or something like that. I don't have anything in front of me, but I remember I was looking at the tight end finishes.
Well, in half PPR, he was 7th in top 5% finish.
Huh.
So top 5 finish percentage, he was 7th behind Kelsey, Kittle, Ertz, Andrews, Njoku, believe it or not, Schultz, and then him.
I think he had a couple
weird
of like
numbers
two touchdown
at the tight end
games.
Position. A lot of weird numbers that you can pull just looking at the data. Like his top 12 percentage, he was not as good. He was down at 19. So if he made the top 12, he was basically guaranteed that he was in the top 5. He only had one top 12 finish where he wasn't in the top 5.
Mm-hmm.
So it was boom or bust.
This is why I used to draft Andy Dalton next year.
What?
I'm joking. We're just talking a lot about Juwan Johnson. But yeah, no, Saints, I don't know if it's like the most lucrative situation for a quarterback to walk into. But I think
no, and they don't have their first round pick.
Yeah.
That was in the Olave trade, and I tried to tell my buddies that. I was like, they gave up too much to get a receiver, and it's costing them. The Eagles got their pick.
Plus CJ Gardner Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, not was, the same deal.
Is he gonna be
he was killing
agent?
Pacheco in the last 2 minutes.
He's going to be a free agent. We'll see. I think the Eagles definitely want to sign him, but 8 of their 11 starters, I think, are free agents on defense. So
jeez.
We'll see.
NFL is crazy. Like, you had the Rams winning the Super Bowl last year, and then they were terrible this year, and their offensive line was a mess. And then, like, any time that you have a successful team, you're almost bound to lose your offensive and defensive coordinators. Like, it is just crazy out there. That's why when you see, like, a dynasty, like the Chiefs have been really good for a long time, it's very impressive.
Or your veterans retire.
Yeah.
And that happened with the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened with the Rams, and they could not recover this year.
No.
They lost, what was it, Andrew Whitworth?
Yep.
Their offensive line was horrible.
Yep.
All right, what do we want to talk about next?
We
could close it out soon. I just kind of – coaching changes I wanted to mention. The Eagles lost both their coordinators. Jonathan Gannon, the defensive coordinator, went to the Arizona Cardinals to be the head coach. I don't really know what to think about that. It depends on who he's going to hire for his coordinator at offense because he's a defensive guy.
Mm-hmm.
In Indianapolis, they hired Shane Steichen. Also, not really sure what to think about that because, I mean, who's the Colts quarterback? One. And two, he made his money with Hurts as the quarterback, creating a scheme around Hurts. So either he's going to try to replicate that with some mobile quarterback who can also throw, or he's going to just create a new offensive scheme that's totally different. What'd you say?
I said Bryce Young.
Bryce Young.
He'll get killed if he runs as much as Jalen Hurts.
Bryce Young is not.
He's very athletic and he's very fast. Like, he doesn't get credit for it.
But he can't squat 600.
He's just so tiny that if he got hit like Jalen Hurts gets hit.
I don't think they have to, though. They could slide. They can run out of bounds. And, Hurts, I think, does a good job of that.
Coordinators' positions are up for grabs on all those staffs. I don't know if Arizona or Indy hired anybody yet. But now the Eagles are – I think Vance Joseph's now in the running for the defensive coordinator position for Philly.
Eric Bieniemy's
switching teams.
Interviewing with the Commanders today. But I'll be honest, I think he stays with the Chiefs. I don't
know. He always
know.
Does.
Who?
Eric Bieniemy, he's interviewing with the Commanders.
For what? Oh, the offensive coordinator job?
He must really think Sam Howell's
good.
Why
would you do that? Honestly, what would be worth doing? I mean, I guess to prove that you can do it with a defensive-minded head coach as, like, the lead guy and then get a head coaching job. But you just won the Super Bowl, and you've been in the Super Bowl 3 times in the last 5 years. You're just stacking rings.
I think you should be a head coach, honestly.
If I was Bieniemy, what pressure. I would do is I would stay with Andy Reid. There was uncertainty whether Reid was going to retire this year. Yeah, and then, he could find his way being Mahomes' head coach with the Chiefs once Reid hangs it up. I think that would be the best-case scenario for him. So maybe that's what he's holding on to.
Also, did you guys hear that Clyde Edwards-Helaire did not attend the parade?
Oh, wow.
So he's got what, 1 year left, right? I doubt they picked up his 5th year option or will pick it up. So my guess is he's cut or go somewhere else next year.
I don't know who tweeted it, so I'm sorry to that person, but it was like if Jonathan Taylor was a healthy scratch in the Super Bowl for a 7th round pick and like a 32-year-old journeyman, that's Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Literally.
Because he was picked before Taylor, right?
Yeah. The year they won the Super Bowl.
Yikes.
They picked him with their last pick in the first round.
That's a big yikes.
I talk a lot of crap about CEH, so I'm trying to stay quiet right now. I feel like I've talked enough about him.
So yeah, kind of lateral move that
let him,
I traded
let
for.
Him off the hook.
I traded CH for
away,
Antonio
right?
Gibson.
Nice. Nice.
But who knows what Antonio Gibson's going to be doing. I think he has more talent. Anyway, do you want to wrap it up? We just kind of rambled all night. However,
it's the way to go. Off-season.
I love talking football. I love the off-season. We're going to have news each week. We'll give our reactions. Hit us up on Twitter. I'm at NarpDad. We got at Joe Bellner. We got at Joseph Mason 94.
Yep, I'm so
yeah.
original.
Do you still have Twitter Blue?
No, they raised the price, so I said I'm out.
So he does not have a check mark. None of us do. Maybe one day, but
so lame Twitter has become.
Yeah, seriously. So hit us up if you got questions about Dynasty. If you have comments, if you have concerns, if you have complaints. Just send them all Joe Bellner's way.
Just send them to Joseph Mason 94.
Yeah, send them to Joe Bellner. He's going to have some articles coming out through the offseason. He's writing for Dynasty Nerds. He's writing for Player Profiler. And Joe Mason's just like working on satellites.
Yep. That's what I do every day.
He's killing it, though.
Pumping those out.
All righty. This is the Almost Sunday Fantasy Football Podcast. You'll hear from us next week, and we're excited for that combine coming up. We'll catch you later.